Right now, in theaters across the country, Buffy's back and singing.
Every single night, the same arrangement, I go out and fight the fight. Still, I always feel the strangest strangement. Nothing here is real, nothing here is right.
Group of fans of Buffy the Vampire Slayer there singing right along with the cast of the television show. Even though the last episode aired in 2003, like any good vampire, there is life after death. The Buffy musical big screen extravaganza has been touring the U.S. this summer, and so far fans are giving it the thumbs up. If you're familiar with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you may recognize the format. Local actors sing before a live audience against the backdrop of a big screen, playing an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that fans know as Once More with Feeling. If you're a Buffy fan and if you've seen the Buffy extravaganza, let us know. What did you think? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org, or you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Doesn't have to rhyme. Clint McClurg is the director and creator of the Buffy musical Big Screen Extravaganza and joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And how did this get started?
Well, I used to run a movie theater in Boston, and I did the midnight movie series there. And I was trying to think outside the box of events that were more than just movies, because over the last few years, I found that it was harder and harder to get people to come out to what was considered the traditional midnight movie experience.
Yeah, Racerhead or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or even stuff like the Rocky Horror Picture Show has really been dwindling since, you know, the late 80s or so. Probably because of the rise of DVD and also because it's at midnight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking outside the box and coming up with events that involved a little bit more of live action and audience participation and all that. And I did 5 or 6 or 70,000 different things like that.
And you found one that clicked.
This is the one that really clicked, yeah.
And it started, as I understand it, you were surprised the number of people who would actually come and pay what we generally refer to as good money to sing along with a TV show that's no longer on the air.
Well, I knew that Buffy fans were fanatical, but I didn't know they were so legion. There are conventions held around the country still to this day focusing just on Buffy the Vampire Slayer or other creations of its creator, Joss Whedon. But I had no idea how many people would come to a midnight screening of a television episode, even with the singing along and the goodie bags I give out and all that stuff. And then, lo and behold, the first show we held, with very little promotion, very little advertising, we had 600 people show up. And this is to a theater that usually draws 30 or 40 people for a midnight show.
And for those who are not among the initiated, I should explain, Once More with Feeling was one episode in which, due to a mysterious spell cast by a demon, every one of the players in the regular cast was forced to sing out, to act in song and dance, their most heartfelt emotions. Of course, it made a big plot point, too, and, well, we could talk about that. But nevertheless, it was one that was entirely in song.
Yes. And one of the reasons it's such a strong episode is because it's very plot-centric. It's not like a gimmicky episode where they're like, let's just have an episode where people break into 50 songs just for fun. Joss Whedon really waited until the very right moment in the course of the entire series to bring this episode to be. He'd been thinking about it since the very beginning. He's a musical geek from way back. And really held on to it until he thought he was at a point where the characters emotionally, you know, where it would really have a payoff. So everybody at the beginning of the episode has a secret that nobody else knows. And they're all guarding their secrets. And the presence of this singing, dancing demon makes them reveal these secrets to everybody. And it just ends in badness for all involved.
Of course, this demon could really dance. His name is Hinton Battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Hinton Battle, Broadway stage and star.
And you also do, there's accompanying events, something you call Buffyoki?
Well, just to pad it out, because it's only an hour-long episode, and to give people, you know, their money's worth, we do lots of pre-show activities, and Buffyoki is one of the most popular, and that's where we pick a scene from the show, not necessarily from the musical episode, but from anywhere within the series, play it up on the big screen, and then pick two or three audience members to come up and reenact the series. We turn the subtitles on so they know what they're going to say.
Uh-huh.
And I found that that's a real crowd pleaser, and that men make the best Buffies.
Really?
They do. They really get the melodrama.
Let's see if we get some listeners in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. And Alexander's with us calling from Burlington in Massachusetts.
Yes, thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I initially was thinking of Asheville, North Carolina, where I was recruited as the character that's known as the Mustard Man.
Oh, nice.
And the Mustard Man does this short, sweet bit where he just sings his heart out about the dry cleaner that has been mm-hmm. successful in getting the mustard out of his shirt. Now, that's just a snippet, but when I was involved with this, I was recruited, and I thought it was just a little local phenomenon. I thought this group of crazy people had gotten together and said, hey, this is a neat thing. Why don't we go ahead and just produce this as a musical? And it ran for 3 nights, and I thought, okay, great. Well, so I participated in that, but then I never thought anything of it until just a few moments ago when I heard your radio show.
Now, was that a stage production, or was it
they pulled out all the stops. It was held at a place called the, what we affectionately called the Bruin View, which is the Bruin Company.
Hmm. Yeah.
And they had really capable people who were all really great singers going up there and just singing their hearts out to these tunes, which they practiced incessantly. The rehearsal schedule was very strict, and I was actually very impressed by how much energy they put into it, it being, just like you said a moment ago, an hour-long TV show.
Yeah. Hmm. It really lends itself well to being performed on stage and to audience participation. And I got to tell you, my big dream for this, and not financially or anything, just I want to see it on Broadway at some point.
Hmm. Well, that would be a good dream to fulfill. I wish everyone involved with it around the country really great luck and great fun. It is a blast.
Thanks.
And it is as much fun as back in the days of the Rocky Horror.
Thanks.
Thanks very much for the call, Alexander. And Clinton McClung, as I understand it, initially the dry cleaning plays a central role in this particular episode.
Well, the scene he's talking about is really like a 30-second throwaway song where they just suddenly realize that they're not the only people who are singing and dancing. And it's one of the best moments of the entire show because we pass out dry cleaning to the audience and make as many people as we can get up on stage and actually do the dance with us. And that just brings so much energy and fun to the theater. And it really creates the whole show itself, the live show and the singing along, creates a community, which I love. I love the fact that by the end of the show, I feel like I'm best friends with everybody in the theater.
Though you made the mistake initially of using your own shirts.
Yes, I did have some shirts stolen.
Souvenirs.
I think they just wanted a little memory to take home. But unfortunately, then I didn't have a little memory to take home.
Stephanie's on the line with us from Oklahoma.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really love your show.
Thank you.
I was a huge musical fan in high school, but I never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then one day in college, I turned on the TV, and there were people singing and dancing. And I was like, holy cow, I have to watch the show.
That happens.
And that's how I got into the series and the whole Buffyverse. And so I'm really excited that this whole, you know, cult classic has continued on even after the series ended.
Would you go see this show if it played in Oklahoma City or Tulsa or wherever it is you're near?
I'm in Oklahoma City and I would love to go see it.
All right, Stephanie.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call. And I wonder, Clint McClung, how many times can you stand to watch this particular episode?
I'm not sick of it yet, even in the least. I still watch it for fun on my free time. I got it downloaded to my phone so I can watch it when I'm on the road. I kind of thought I'd be sick of it, too. I mean, I'm a huge Buffy fan, but I have many interests other than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hooked. It's amazing. Well, you know, it's like, again, like Rocky Horror. How many times have people seen Rocky Horror and they still do it every weekend? I feel like I'm kind of in that mode right now. Like, there's no way I can imagine getting sick of it yet.
What about Joss Whedon, the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and now the author in comic books of season number 8? But has he come to see the show?
He did. He finally got to see. He'd been hearing about the show for about a year. We started it. We started performing in New York City on a regular basis last September. Before that, since 2004, I've been performing it sporadically, mostly in Boston where I was based. And once we moved to New York City, it happens every month here, and we started to get a lot of attention, and people sort of noticed we were here, and that's how the whole touring thing started. And Joss started hearing about it at that point. And I just did a show last month in Los Angeles, and unbeknownst to me, he was snuck in and put in the back row and watched the entire show. and was totally ready to duck out if he hated it. And instead, he ended up walking up front and talking to the audience afterwards and expressing how much, you know, how much he didn't expect this to happen. And he was so flattered that everybody still loved this. You know, he really created it to be a standalone episode of television. It wasn't supposed to turn into anything else. Well, and it has. And I think he's very flattered.
Well, good luck. Although, where do you go next?
I'm going to Washington, D.C., and then Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then Denver and Kansas City.
Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Clinton McClung is creator and director of the Buffy musical Big Screen Extravaganza. You can find a link to the extravaganza's website and upcoming dates at npr.org/talk. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.